anyway, I'm not, I have no desire nor intention to try and wow you tonight. I'm not going to try and follow up with something from Sunday. Now, Sunday I might, but I want to talk to you about your faith tonight for a little bit. Is Jasmine in here? Okay, if you could let her know just some things I've heard. Let the whoever's teaching children's church know they are not allowed to send kids out. If there's a problem, send for Jasmine and bring her in. But I don't want them just sending kids out. And there's some reasons for that. We can talk about that more in the future. Anyway, am I forgetting anything? No. You see the little bit of remodeling we're doing in the foyer. We're going to have stone behind. We're going to expand the welcome center and the cafe, and we're going to have some stone walls behind there, and just try and modernize it a little bit. I'm sure those running the cafe won't be too mad about it. They can have a little more room back there. So hopefully we'll get that done in the next couple weeks. If you are tired or grumpy, look at your neighbor and say, pray for me right now. I'm watching some of you. I see some of you. There's a lot of you. My goodness. I see. K.O., I don't know if you're tired or grumpy, but your wife thinks you are. She was already laying hands. James chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to pray about our Conneaut daycare. Every box has been checked except the building department's final approval. We had to redo some drawings for them. And did you send those already, Diane, today? She's behind the eight ball. She's dragging, slagging, whatever. But she'll get it sent hopefully tomorrow. And hopefully we'll have something here real soon with that. It won't come a minute too soon over there. We need that that shot in the arm. I did not give the sound booth my scripture, so they'll have to be at the top of their game. I'm going to read through verse 6. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And so I just want to preach to you for a few moments on the title, When Your Faith Outgrows Its Pot. Are you praying for us? Go ahead, Garrett.
Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, today, Lord, that we be more focused than ever, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that our minds not be somewhere else, Lord God, but they be here today, Lord. I know the day was rough, Lord God, but I ask you, Lord, as we come in here, that stress, Lord God, is released off of you, Lord God. And Lord, I ask you if you lay your hand on Pastor, Lord, and just help him speak your word, Lord. We love you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thanks for standing so long. Now, you may wonder, what does diverse or various temptations have to do with your faith? Well, I think it has a lot to do with it. First of all, that word temptation, it means putting to proof. So if you've ever had something made and you ask them to send you a proof to verify that it's exactly what you want or what you need, that's sort of the spirit of that text. Also means adversity and to test. So God is putting us to proof. He's testing us. He said, count it all joy. Now listen to me. If you're in church, bring your mind in here. Count it all joy when you are put to the test, or when you are put to proof, or when you are facing adversity. Now, I could say that, but some people just let it go right over their heads. So if you want to grow tonight, then you need to listen to me. Count it joy when God puts you to test, when you are facing adversity. There's something happening in your life. When I was young, we used to get, I remember for Christmas a couple times, I got those little sanding stone blocks. Because I had a machete. Well, every kid wants a machete. I don't know why. And thank God I didn't grow up and use it on people. But I did, and or knives. And you'd take that little sandstone and you'd try and rub it along the blade of that machete or those knives to try and sharpen it. That's really what it was for. It's not Dawn dish soap and a wet rag. It takes a little bit more than that to sharpen the blade. You either have to decide if you're going to be a church attendee or if you're going to be a child of God. I do believe that every person here, I believe, wants to be a child of God. Then you have to accept that there will be seasons and you will be put to test. And he tells us why in verse 3. Because, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So he compares this to trying my faith. What does that mean? Well, it's when we're put to the test or adversity is in our life that most people's faith begins to wane. And they begin to question God. And they begin to wonder why. And they begin to ask God why, or get upset at God, or get frustrated. And the apostle here said that you need to know this, that this trying of your faith is working patience in you. Patience, why patience? Well, the very first thing that goes when you're having a bad day is your patience. And with patience, everything follows. It starts with a lack of patience, and then glasses start to fly, doors start to slam, things start to get broken, dogs get kicked, cats get kicked, wife gets kicked. I'm just kidding. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I was joking. I did not tell anybody to do that. You people are too uptight. And so the trying of your faith works patience. Then he says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let this process, which is a perfect process, you may not like it. You may get upset. You may get frustrated. But God says, I know what I'm doing. It's a perfect process. Let it have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God is trying to finish in us what he started. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the pulpit. Doesn't matter how long you've been teaching Sunday school. God is still always doing something in us. And so it's through this trying of our faith, it's through these temptations, if you please, that God is perfecting you and I. That's why, you know, you can't melt down when things start to go south. God is trying to build your faith. And he does that through trying your faith. And then he perfects your patience. Why? Because if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You say, wisdom, what's wisdom have to do? Well, you gotta learn to just know when God's up to something. You gotta learn to be patient and let God do what God does. And he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So it's through this process, listen to me, it's through this process that you'll learn to go to God and say, God, can you help me here? God, would you give me some patience here? God, would you see me through this season of my life? God, would you give me victory in this situation? And so, in the end, these diverse or these various temptations are putting us to test is actually building our faith. It's growing us into full maturity in the Lord. It's that, or you stay there where you are forever. But it's the patience. Listen to me. God is after your patience in one way or another. You may be sitting there and somebody might have gotten on your last nerve today. God's saying, I'm trying your patience. Or we might be going into the building program and God might say, I want you to do this. I want you to give this, and you give it. And then 6 months later, you're saying, God, when are you going to give it back? He's trying your patience. There's many ways God tries our patience. Ultimately, all of it is bringing us to full maturity in the Lord. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access to faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we have access to faith into this grace where we're standing and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. Rejoice in the hope, not rejoice in your circumstance or your situation, but rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. We'll make sense of that. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So here we are again. We glory, we get excited, we get pumped up in these seasons of tribulation. Why? Because, now, let me pause. We don't normally do that at all. You know why we don't? Because the last thing on our mind during a season of tribulation is God's up to something. And the first thing on our mind is our knee-jerk flesh reaction. And some, most of the time, our knee-jerk flesh reactions are not good. But the Apostle Paul said, he said, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have access into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Here we are talking about patience again. It's as if God's trying to get our attention and say, hey, we got a patience problem in the church today. Again, let me say one more time, your patience is the first thing to go. It's the first thing to go. And once your patience goes, everything goes with it. People fall apart when their patience goes. That's not a criticism. It's just an honest observation that the scripture also observed for thousands of years, so much so that God said, we better put this in the word. And so our patience, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, you've got to let things have their course in your life. You can't fall apart when things aren't going right. Some of you are like zombies out there. Everything I'm saying is going right overhead, right over your head, and through one ear and out the other. And that's partially why you have very little walk with God. I'm just going to be honest for a second. And so when these things happen, you got to learn. The first thing you need to start telling yourself is, all right, all right. I use Rick as an example back there. All right, Rick, I'm Rick for a minute. I'm you. You, Rick, that Rick right there. Not that Rick. One has no hair and one has messy hair. His wife likes his messy look. She's like, don't comb it, baby. I like that look. All right, Rick. Slow down here. God's doing something. So-and-so got on your last nerves today. Ah, it's a sign God's up to something. He's trying to do something in my life. Let me pause. I've shared this with you probably a time or two in the past, not much, but a couple years ago, I began to ponder about plants and trees and pots. And one of the observations that I made that is very obvious, obviously, is if you go to Home Depot and you buy a tree and it's 6 feet tall, and you have every intention of planting that tree could live in that pot until Jesus comes. But it will never grow any bigger than its pot. But when you take that tree, when you want a bigger tree, you take that tree out of its pot and you plant it somewhere in some good soil and you let it spread its roots. Now listen, the key is the roots must spread. You can pick that tree up in its little pot and you can move it anywhere. But if you plant that tree where his roots can spread, it'll get bigger than life itself, and you'll never be able to move it, ever. You know why people bounce around from church to church to church? Because they're living in a pot. When your roots are firm, you can't go. God will never release you, and you'll understand that, and you'll feel that. But as you decide, I don't want my little pot anymore. I want to expand my roots, and I want to grow in the Lord. Now that's when you are more exposed to things. And I'll talk about that at the end. But you're no longer nursed in a nursery, but now you're out there in the middle of the field where you were planted, and you're subject to termites, and you're subject to birds, and you're subject to winds and floods and rains and all those things until you can get to the point. And so our faith has to come to the point where it moves us out of where we are and into the place that God is trying to get us. And if we're not willing to get out of that pot and make ourselves vulnerable, you'll never be anything more than you are. You'll be fighting the same battles 10 years from now, dealing with the same stuff, getting irritated the same way you used to, responding to adversity the same way. So you have to decide at some point, I don't want to be in this pot anymore. And the only way you can do that is with adversity. You've got to have adversity in your life because adversity equals growth. You know, I've lost my cool a time or two in life. I have. I know you have a hard time believing that. I had somebody sat down years ago, right, not long after we started the church. We were here a couple years. We had one of our year-end banquets. We had in this lodge this year, and this person, I sat down beside this person, she's like, wow, I get to sit by you? And I said, just hope I don't pass gas. I didn't say that, I'm just kidding. And then she said, she looked at me, she said, do you ever sin? I'm like, no, not hardly. Of course not. I didn't get this to this point in my life because I didn't say that either, just for the record. Over the years, God has through adversity, and some of my greatest storms have broken me. And they have taught me more patience than what I ever dreamed I would ever have and operate with, because that is what a storm does. That is what tribulation does. Remember the next time you get frustrated. Remember, God is doing something, but you've got to grow out of the pot that you're in. You've got to decide, I don't want to be in the same place. That's not a crime. That doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It's just acknowledging. It's acknowledging. Watch. The first scripture we read, he said, let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a seed driven with the wind. Ask what? Ask whatever. God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to, you know, always lose my cool with people. I don't want to always be blowing my horn at somebody because they're going too slow according to me and according to my opinion. I don't want to be flipping people off anymore. I've been in church for 3 years. It'd be nice if I could at least break that bad habit. I don't want to be responding to people adversity and flipping. Listen, we've been here long. We've seen everything in church, man. Fights, people flipping out, flipping, screaming, yelling, crying. Oh, no. Oh, I'm leaving this church. Oh, God. Oh, no. I mean, everything you can imagine. I mean, at one point, I told my wife, I said, we're never going to get anybody normal in this church. I did. I told her that. I said, we're never going to get anybody normal. And then I realized nobody's normal. So it was kind of the truth. So he said, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. So once you get patience, you have now gained experience. And so when you get to that next crossroad in your life, you're going to look back. And you're going to say, okay, well, God brought me through that one. And maybe I can follow the same pattern. And now experience begins to guide you through the next circumstance in life. That's what happened when David got to the battlefield. His experience of the lion and the bear trained him with how to approach Goliath. And because of that, he was able to have victory. But his experience taught him that it's not by my might or not by my power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. And so when he grabbed that stone, he prayed and said, God, guide it. Are you with me? And so tribulation, work patience, and patience experience, and then experience hope. What does that mean? When God is getting to the end of that training, now you have hope. You're not all, I'm going to walk so I can make sure you all listen to me. Now you have hope. You're not always walking with your head hung down. You're not always walking defeated. You're not always talking defeated. Thank you, Alina, for what you said tonight, because it's 100% the truth. I can say it. Maybe it takes a 16-year-old girl to get there, 17 or 16, or how old are you? Where's she at? 16. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Sometimes it takes, because I tell them all the time, wherever you are, Alina, where's she at? I tell them all the time. I say, listen, you got to watch what you speak. You're speaking death into your, every time you gripe and you grumble, you are giving fuel to the death in your life. But when I have hope, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Once I have learned to weather those seasons of tribulation, and I will do so because I know that God is teaching me experience. And in the end, I'm going to have hope. And now I no longer respond the same way, because now I see God is bigger than every situation, every circumstance. And now my faith is going to a different level. And now I don't get offended anymore when we take up an offering for the building program. Or I don't get offended anymore when you know, pastor gets up and preaches about faith or giving or any of those things, because I have hope that Christ is the expected end of everything. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. It no longer becomes just a sermon, but it becomes a part of our life. And that is the difference with so many Christians. And so, hope maketh not ashamed. You don't have to walk out hanging your head because you blew up and lost your cool. Or because you really wanted to give in that building fund, but you just didn't, you just couldn't do it. Now every time you get up and pastor gets up and talks about it, you feel guilty and you feel ashamed. Then you start to get mad, and then you get mad at him because, but hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Am I making any sense? Mark 4, 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now, let me just take a moment on that verse. So, according to this parable, we cast seed to the ground and then we go to bed. We don't sit there and wonder and wait for something to happen. Why isn't God doing anything? Why isn't God doing anything? Why isn't God doing anything? Still waiting on God to do something. No, we cast the seed, whatever those seeds might be. And then we go to bed, and we get up, we go about our day, we go to bed, we get up, and then one day, without worrying about it or wondering about it, one day, the seed should spring up and grow, and you don't know how. And then you're like, wow, oh no, look at this, man, look at, I don't understand. Because you cast the seed, that's why. And you forgot about the seed. Everything you do, every time you exercise faith, you're casting seed into the ground. And then you'll get somewhere where you never thought you would be. You'll overcome something you never thought you would overcome. And then the things that you once wrestled with, they no longer have a hold on you. And so you can hold your head up higher, because hope maketh not ashamed. And then you look back and you realize, wow, look what God has done. And then it goes on to say, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn of ear, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. There's something about reaping the benefits of your sown seed, which you will not sow. You say, well, I don't understand how you're comparing the two, the first scriptures and this scripture, because you're never going to sow anything until you learn that tribulation worketh patience. And patience brings experience, and experience births hope. And now when I sow, I have hope that God is a rewarder. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I have hope that the scripture is not just a dead book, but it literally means He who soweth sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Whatever that means, God, I don't know. I don't care. I just want to keep sowing. And I want to keep sowing, and I'm going to keep sowing. This year, I looked at those Christmas for Christ envelopes, and I said, you are not taking a $78 envelope this year. You're not doing it. And so I took a $500 envelope. And then the conversation began with myself. And I said, how do you plan on paying the $500? And I said, I have no clue. But we're going to find a way. And so then I went to my wife yesterday. I said, honey, remember that $500 I told you to put aside for this? She says, yeah. I said, put this in our Christmas for Christ envelope. I said, there's our $500. What about that? Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that down the road there when that's ready. It was something we were putting aside for something I'd had to pay here in March. And so I still got to pay it in March, but I'm not worried about it. I decided I am not so. I'm getting out of my pot. And I'm not sowing the same. I'm doing the same thing with the building fund. I'm not preaching nothing to you. I plan on giving in this building fund until it hurts me. That's exactly what I plan to do. Now, you do whatever you want to do, but our family, we're going to give until it hurts us. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to and I don't know where I'm going to stop, but I don't know. I'm thinking because I am not going to stay in the same pot for the rest of my life. And I want to get out of this pot because I know what God can do because I've already been through tribulation and it has taught me patience and I have hope now and I know how God works and I see how all this whole game plays out and God is always in control. God is always able. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills if you don't learn to give. You got to feed the cattle on the thousand hills first. The thousand hills, howls and thills. I don't even know what I said. And so when I cast that seed, eventually it's going to sprout and grow. And one day you're going to bring in a harvest. It's going to happen. I promise you with everything that's true and right, it's going to happen. And I'll tell you what grieves me about these kind of messages. Simple. But if we can't get to simple, don't ask for anything deeper. As there will be people, they will not get out of their pot. Their faithfulness to the house of God will still remain as sloppy as it always been. Their faithfulness in giving will still be as sloppy as it's always been. Their faithfulness to trusting God. I'm going to preach for a minute. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. It's going to stick you sometimes. It's going to hurt sometimes. If it doesn't, it's not the word. It's a story. And I want people, I want everybody to experience that. And, you know, and talking to a lot of our younger men and women, I get a little nosy sometimes. And I ask them, what'd you make last year? And they're like, I'm like, holy cow, you got more than me. But these are people that just give and they believe in giving. And then one day, here you are, you're no longer making $30,000 a year, but you're making $130,000 a year. Well, I'm not preaching prosperity to you. I'm saying when you keep casting that seed into the ground, one day it's going to sprout and you're going to have a harvest. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? And I feel the Holy Ghost because that's what God does. Psalms 1 and 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Not a tree planted in a Home Depot pot. Not a tree, little bonsai tree on your little window sill. Oh, look how cute my little bonsai tree is. Some of you got bonsai trees, you're offended now. Get over it. We'll go cut the thing down, is what we'll do. When I started planting trees, am I boring you? When we bought our house, there wasn't nothing. And some of you know this story, so just shut up and just listen. And there was not a stitch of landscaping, and there was nothing. He just finished building it. Somebody who I won't name talked me into buying that house. They showed it to me. And boy, it's been a lot of grief since then. I still love them. Anyway, there was nothing. And so over the years, I would just, It was right before Colin was born. The year before Colin was born, I bought a whole bunch of maple trees in Home Depot. And you've heard a lot of these stories. But if you go by now and you look at them, and every year I'd go by and I'd look at the buds and I'd see how much taller. Look, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know why? I wasn't about to take those pots and just set them around the property because I was too lazy to dig a hole. No, I want to dig a hole. I'm gonna invest in this thing a little bit because I believe that one day it's going to be bigger than life. And, man, some of them are just massive today because they're really fast-growing trees. They grow 2-3 feet a year at minimum. And I just decided I want to have a tree that doesn't move. It's not going to get blown over in the wind. It's going to give me some shade, even enjoy the leaves falling on the ground. When you go through tribulation, when you learn what tribulation does in your life, and when it begins to build your faith, you will be like a tree planted by the unmovable, unmovable. Hell itself would have to drag you out of the church kicking and screaming, and then you'd be grabbing a hold of everybody and anybody, even the ones you can't stand, because you're unmovable. That is what tribulation does. That's the end result. And so, tonight, if my wife would come, you need to recognize, first, when you have outgrown your pot. And some of you have outgrown your pot. You just haven't been willing to get out of that pot yet. You might not even think you've outgrown your pot, but you have. You're ready to sprout your roots. You're ready to sprout your wings. You're ready for those roots to go deeper and further than they've ever gone before. That's why sometimes the devil tries to get us to move. I'm talking to some of you people. They know. I know. Jesus knows. I remember when Brother Tyler started coming. He wasn't here but a couple years. We were just getting used to him. And he said, "Hey, I got a question for you." That's the way it sounded to me anyway. "Well, I'm thinking about moving and following my father-in-law in Cincinnati. He wants me to go out there and work for him." Well, as a pastor, that's never, it's a winless situation because everybody will always think that you're just going to speak for your own personal benefit. Now, listen, I've asked a few people to go. Listen, I got no problem being honest with you. I had a pastor, Brother Kenny. I was talking to him this week, and he says, this couple, I don't remember what the deal was, but he said, I looked at him and I said, "Listen, you've outgrown this church. You got to go." "Well, you're kicking us out." "No, I'm just telling you, you've outgrown the church. You got to go." I know you don't think pastors do that, and sometimes it's necessary. Read your Bible. It happened all the time. Anyway, I got to be careful what I say on camera, too. I said something on camera when I was preaching in Mansfield, and it wasn't bad. But it was like private information wasn't supposed to get out, and I didn't know it. And then that pastor got a call from somebody, stayed away, and then I laughed. It was funny. I told someone this past week, if you don't want me to say something, then when you tell me, say, "Don't say this now. It's secret." Because I talk a lot. Some things, I just like things come out. Anyway, I have no clue where I was. What was I talking about? Oh. And so I just said, I don't feel like it's God's will. I just don't feel it, man. I just not feeling it. And I know he would agree now. See, as you get ready to get yourself out of that pot, Satan wants to keep you in that pot to keep your roots from spreading. It is his desire. It's his design. That's why you can't just get your feelings hurt. And I'm going to be real for a second. Well, every time something goes wrong in the church, "I'm leaving. I'm not going back." You can't do that because the devil's in those details. Because he knows if you stay long enough and you remove yourself from your pot of comfort and your roots start to spread, he knows eventually in time nothing will be able to rock your world. I'm telling you, it's a fact. There was a time I bought I leased a truck. It was a used truck. You could lease used vehicles, a couple thousand miles, 25,000 miles or something. They don't do that much anymore. And they made me some promises, and they lied to me, and I was dumb and gullible, and I let them get away with it. And then finally the guy laughed at me, and I said, I'm going to drive this truck right to the front of that showroom floor. I will be on the news tonight. Guarantee it. I was planning it. I really was. I was that angry. I was so furious. And then it's like I got a revelation, and, you know, I'm like, I probably should have prayed about this first. I might not be in this situation. Now, today, I'm not going to say I would, but there's not a whole lot really bothering me. I get worked up for the most. There's not much that rattles me much anymore. I really don't get rattled. I mean, I just don't. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Shut the camera off for a second. Hey, it's not my fault. Everything's recorded. All right? I told you, I just got myself in trouble. And man, listen to me. Would you please listen to me? God's trying to get you out of your pot. The place you've always been, the responses you've always done, the same reactions that you've always had. God's trying to fix that. He's trying to get you out of that. I don't care nobody else. He's trying to get you out of that too. I'm not here to please anybody. He's definitely trying to get you out of that. God wants you to grow. He wants your faith to grow. And when your faith grows, you will be a soldier for the army of the Lord, one that hell would be afraid to reckon with. So, signs that your faith is ready for more. Number one, your desire for deeper prayer, study, scripture, the word, all those things. Number two, growing boldness in serving or sharing in the gospel. Those things are signs that your faith is just ready to bust out. A sense of dissatisfaction with just the comfort zone spiritually. You never want to get into a comfortable place. I realize we put cafes and coffees and all that, and I seen someone in church a couple weeks ago, they're sitting there during service. Listen to me. This isn't the movie theater. Don't sneak your Coke in here. Now, I used to make jokes about that, but I'm being serious now. We're beyond. It's time to stop with that. It's time to stop with your big gulps. You know, you probably should, you know, talk to your doctor about your, what do they call it, your BMI. With all those big gulps, it's probably not good. Right? So it's a good thing anyway. We got to take this thing to the next level. You got to take your faith and your walk with God to the next level. You got to ask your God. And I really, genuinely, with all of my heart, in the fear of God from this pulpit, I can say this. Some people won't even respond. They won't give it time of day. That's fine. Stay where you are. You ain't going to hurt me one bit. But I really believe with all of my heart the uniqueness of this building program is God is going to do it because some people are going to take their faith to a whole different level. And they're not going to sow sparingly, but they're going to sow bountifully. And I promise you, in the fear of God, you will reap because the word says so. You will. You will. You will. I believe it. And I just know it. I believe it. I feel it. And I'll be a part of that. So Next point, don't fear the transplant. Like a plant, growth often requires some discomfort. Roots may be disturbed. Some of your old ways, your old things, your old thinking, all that junk has got to get disturbed. One of the things God does, I'm almost done, when he begins to grow people, is God begins to air out the dirty laundry. He begins to bring up old feelings and emotions that you buried a long time ago. Why? Because you can't grow in that pot. You got to get out of that pot. And so, and what happens, people get all messed up, but they don't realize what's going on in their life. I found out a long time ago, listen, God's going to bring it out if you want to grow. That's a good thing. I know it might be a little frightening. I know some of you are afraid to confront some things of your past, but you got to understand God's got to disturb some of those old roots because he's the potter and you're the clay. And he's got to take that, he's got to take that vessel apart and he's got to make a brand new one. Let God disturb the roots. I feel that so strong in the Holy Ghost. You may shed some leaves. There's some things in your life that you got to shed, you got to get rid of. And God moves us through challenges in order to expand our faith. And he does. And the benefits of a bigger pot are this. A, you have more room to grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. And you have the ability to reap more fruit. I have never had what we have and been blessed the way we are working in the secular field. Now, I'm not saying that you can't. I didn't, because since then my faith has just skyrocketed. God has, he kept tearing down the platform and building a bigger platform and a bigger platform. Or I did, rather. Why? Because I wanted my faith to expand, and I still do. I try to share things with you, not to boast, but to help build your own faith. And I'm here tonight, I feel it so strong, and I'm finished. God wants to get you out of your pot, because your faith has already outgrown it. You might not even realize it. Let God do what God's going to do. Here's the last thing I'll say. Every year now at our general conferences, they raise millions and millions of dollars for missions. Millions and millions. And I don't remember what year it was. Had to be, I don't know, 2016s. No. It was in Virginia. 2010, 9, 13, somewhere in that. Anyway, that year they had said we want to pass $1 million this year. They'd never done it before. And I don't remember who preached it. Man, they preached a great message. Brother Pazzi was still living, and he just did a fantastic job with what he does. He was always a big part of all that. He was just a big, big missions believer. Big missions believer. Brother Pazzi is part of the reason why our church is where we're at today, because of what he taught me. And I'm telling you, in that service, I feel the Holy Ghost. I do. You know, if you want to buy into it, don't buy into it. I'm not doing anything tonight. But in that service, people brought up, they came up and laid the deeds to their houses. People came up and they laid the deeds to classic vehicles. People came up and they wrote checks for their entire accounts. I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy what God was doing in that service. What does the Bible say in the book of Acts? But what's this? What is that? Is that Acts chapter 4, the end of 4, is it? I want to find it. We're going to put it up real quick and so I can finish. These guys are so fast, they keep taking my stuff. You guys know the scripture I'm talking about. They came and they brought houses and they brought everything and they laid it at the feet of the apostles. Come on, someone find it for me. Help me out. I believe it's Acts, end of 4 or 5. You're too late. Nope, maybe not. Yeah, it's Acts 4. And the Acts 4:32, put it on the screen for me. It's always so funny because secular people, people in the world or worldly-minded people that are in the church, they always hate these kind of scriptures. But they're the same ones that they'll have no problem spending $1,000 on an Xbox or $300 on a pair of Nikes And they're suckers for the world, but they think that we're suckers because we love to give. And the multitude of them were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So they didn't say, what I have is mine. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of the consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When revival began to explode, people's faith began to explode. And when their faith began to explode, people would just about do or give just about anything. That's where I want to be. That's where I want God to bring me. And I just wish I could help you. I got to stop because you're tired of hearing me. But I wish I could help you believe. That's, remember, you're going to sow that seed and you're going to go to bed. And you're going to wake up next day and you're going to work and you're going to go about your life. But one day, you're going to watch that seed's going to begin to sprout. And I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Would you stand with me? Lord, I believe it. I believe it, Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to do with this word what you plan to do, whatever you desire to do, God. You know that I have not said anything for my own gain or benefit. God, I stand before you innocent. You know what I say, I believe. Your word is the proof, God. I pray that you would let this word settle. I felt it's already settled this entire service. God, we may not run the aisles. We may not shout. We may not baptize 11 more. But you are doing something in the spirit, in our faith. And I believe, God, that people have already chosen to move out of their pot tonight and say, God, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to live here anymore. I pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do. God, let our faith be expanded in this place tonight. Let our faith be expanded. I will do my part, Jesus, and lead by example. I pray, let it settle right now in this place. God, let it settle right now in this place. Let the spirit of prophecy, God, go forth into our hearts. God, right now, let it be received in that vein, in that spirit, knowing that your word is never, ever, ever wrong, and you never lie. Jesus, in Jesus' name.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Just pray and say, God, help me move out of my pot tonight. My faith is ready to take me outside of my pot. Help me, God, to move out. Just at least pray that prayer. I don't care if you're back there or up here. At least pray that prayer. Say, God, help me. I want to move out. I need a bigger pot. I want bigger faith, oh God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. and I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And blessed assurance. And Jesus is mine. Yes, he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. And born of his Spirit, and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
In perfect submission, all is at rest. As I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day. And I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. Him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord. And he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord.
Colin to close us in prayer. Now you can pray as long as you want, but I want to very specifically pray that God will stretch our faith tonight. Listen to me. If you hear nothing else I said the whole service, those of you that have already done and begun to do, I want you to go to bed, get up tomorrow, go to work. Don't worry about it. One day, I promise you, on my salvation, because that's how much confidence I have in the Word. You're gonna wake up and you're going to be like, wow, look at this. Look what God has done. I promise you. I feel it so strong. I feel it so strong. Because God, let man be a liar. But God is never a liar. Never. Amen. And so, as Colin closes, pray as long as you want. When you're done, just get something ready. Don't have to tell them. Just stop praying. They can keep on going. For God to help us in what He's trying to do in expanding our faith and our base.
Let's pray together and receive this word. Jesus, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful word that you have brought forth to us tonight. I pray that it would reside deep within our spirits and in our minds, God, that it would carry us through times in our lives, Jesus. I pray that our faith is stretched, God, that it is stretched then, Lord Jesus. And let us remember this message when it is, so that we know we're on track, God, and we're in your will. I pray that we would grow out of our pots and that we'd be willing, though it can be nerve-wracking, God, though it can be uncomfortable, even painful, perhaps. I pray that we are more than willing and we move forward in our walks with you, that we would grow, Jesus, facing different things in life that would only help us to be perfected, Lord. May you perfect us, Lord, and I pray the word, Lord Jesus, would perfect us. I thank you for his preparation and his willingness to deliver the word. And I pray that we would reap what we sow, God. May we sow abundantly in every aspect of our lives, believing that we will only reap abundantly, God. Believing that you do abundantly and above all that we ask or think. And may we take no thought for tomorrow, but let it think for itself, not worrying about what we wear or anything of the likeness, but just giving it all to you. In the wonderful, precious name we pray of Jesus Christ. Amen.